You're listening to a 95 BFM podcast.
The Tree Council was aware of the management plans that were put forward in 2016 by the Mongan Authority after an independent planning commission hearing, and we support the intention that the authority has, and we hope that they are able, both resource-wise and politically-wise, to fulfil their ambitions to create a unique environment within one of the largest cities in New Zealand, and certainly one of the largest cities in this portion of the world. The kind of environment that will benefit not just the locals around each Maunga, but the entire city.
This is not actually the first Maunga restoration, right? This has happened, or this is the fourth one. Why do you think there's been a reaction this time?
Oh, I think there was unhappiness amongst locals on a couple of the other Maunga sites. I think certainly Mount Albert, as parking call it, is within a very urbanised area, and it's obviously a very valued green space, recreational space for people, and has been for a long time. Unfortunately, as with much of New Zealand's iwi history, the relationship that Mana Whenua have to these sacred sites has been lost along the way and forgotten, and therefore there seems to be a mismatch between people's understanding of what these places really mean and the enjoyment that they've had of these sites through their lifetime. So I think there is misunderstanding about how important these places are to iwi. There's certainly misinformation and misunderstanding about what the intentions of the Maunga Authority are. And we really hope that if people take the time to read the management plan and to read the balanced views of people within the press, rather than some of the misinformation that I've seen and heard in the last few days, that they'll have a more balanced response to what's going on. Of course, people are upset and unhappy about changes to an environment that they've grown up with and they're very used to. That's perfectly understandable. But the long-term outcome for this Maunga and for the entire city, we believe, will be incredibly positive.
Because not only is this obviously about the autonomy of the Tupuna Maunga Authority and that relationship you've talked about between tangata whenua and the land, and particularly Maunga, but this is really important ecologically, right? So what are the benefits of having these plants?
Well, I think, you know, it doesn't take a lot of imagination to see that if you can recreate within little pockets of the city the kind of environment that we see in the Waitakere's, notwithstanding Kauri Daiba, but that kind of complex plant community, you can hope that in over time you'll be able to see a much broader range of birds, of avian flora, fauna, and other animals that at the moment are rare, if not, you know, completely absent in our inner city.
And is this true that exotics don't really support the regeneration of native trees?
No, I don't think that it's true to say that they don't support the regeneration of native trees. I think it's accurate to say that there's a range of views amongst ecologists, certainly the ecologists that I've dealt with over the years, as to what the best approach would be. Certainly some ecologists do feel that retaining trees to protect young plants is a very good approach. Others feel that if you have a well-planned planting regime that includes ground covers, shrubs, forbs, and canopy species, and you support those planting plans through to, you know, early establishment, that you get better, quicker results if you start without the exotics present. But I mean, what I'm getting at is that there's certainly a debate that goes on amongst ecologists as to what the best approach is, but I'm not going to pretend that there aren't many ecologists who feel that you should, if you can, retain the large exotic trees. I think it's important to recognise that in this instance, it's not simply about the ecology and the ecological planning, that there are constraints about what you can and can't do on the Maunga, and that's why you see this extremely expensive program of tree removals going on, and the idea that you could easily resource that over an extended period repeatedly, I think, you know, that's certainly something that I doubt. And I think if you retain the trees, and sure, if they act in the way that you hope and protect the younger trees coming through, then you potentially leave yourself open to the morass that we see at Western Springs, where you have a well-established understory of regenerating native forest and woodland, and the nightmare of trying to remove large exotic pines without causing significant damage to that understory.
Right.
That's extremely difficult and expensive, and you know it can be done, but it's a very difficult process.
Okay, well, finally, what is the Tree Council's role in supporting tangata whenua here?
We've felt from the outset that this is a plan that, if it does come to fruition, and you know that it's a very ambitious plan what they're hoping to achieve, that will benefit the entire city, not just tangata whenua and not just the iwi, who have a very special relationship to these sacred places. And we just really hope that if people take the time to learn what is planned and why it's planned, that they'll have a more balanced view about what's going on.
Did you want to add anything else?
No, I just think, you know, the reaction that we've experienced, which was not unexpected, to express our support for the Te Puna Maunga Authority reflects a misunderstanding that an organisation like the Tree Council is not de facto opposed to change, is not de facto opposed to the removal of trees. We take every single issue on its merits, whether right. It's a single tree or whether it's more than 100 trees. And, you know, we would hope that that rational approach is the way in which tree management goes forward in our city.
That was a 95BFM podcast. Support 95BFM with a B-card. Go to 95BFM.com/signup.